The words should be on the screen for you, and hopefully they match in the program. Here we go in unison. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done, for God has no favorites. Masters, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Go ahead and be seated. Why don't we go back down memory lane for those of us that are over 30. Those of us that are younger, I want you to think about all of us in this context. First job you ever had. Can you remember the first job that you had? For some, and I'm thinking of Providence Hall now, your school is your job. I used to tell my daughter that all the time. You know, your job is your schoolwork. That's what you do. You go to school. For college students, same thing. But others, we have. And can you remember the first job that you had? And do you remember when you had that job? Were you thinking, I'm made for this. This is like incredible. My first job was a paper route. Now that's like a different life ago, right? How many of you had a paper route? Oh my goodness, look around there, man. A lot of you had paper routes. Now, I don't know if it was the way I was raised or where I learned my work ethic, but when I was a paper route in Oakland, California, I had, 24 papers, a whopping 24 papers. I had the bags that I carried. And I don't know where I learned this, but do you remember in the day you used to put inserts? You have to fill the paper with inserts. Usually Wednesday and Sunday had the most inserts, and you would put, and it was all the advertising. And I don't know why, but my buddy, and some of you have met him, Dr. Don, we had routes from the same box, and we used to ditch the inserts. We would take the inserts, and rather than put them in the paper, we would chuck them over the fence into the bushes. That's what we would do. Now, I don't know where I learned that, but it was like I had this work ethic from an early age of just cutting corners. And then, of course, you know, I would walk on my route, and you wrap up, you put rubber bands on them, and I'd throw them. And I'm telling you, there were times I'd throw it, oops, up on the roof. Oh, well, so what? Or, whoops, in the bushes. And I was one of these guys that in my very first job, I just never was taught about a work ethic. And so then, of course, you fast forward, and I graduated from having a paper route to being a dishwasher at Sy's Fish Restaurant in Oakland. And no, I know some of you are thinking, what, you left chunks on the dishes? No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. But I never felt in those first few jobs that I was like, I was made for this. Then when I was in seminary in my 20s, here I am. I'm going to school, and I don't know if you guys know this, but I needed some extra money, and I was a security officer. John Ireland was a security officer, and I can't even believe I did that job. I was unqualified for it, and I wasn't going to protect anybody. But what? The reason you're going, what are you talking about? What is it? Here's where I'm going with this, I think. Some of us, I would say this, all of us would love to have a career, a job that we were able to say, I was made for this. I'm thriving. I'm living the dream, right? And I just have to say that I know that I have had, especially earlier in my life, I've had jobs where I was hating my life. My perspective on work was I just wanted to get that paycheck, and I had zero interest really in performing or doing my job in an excellent way. It was really about cutting corners. It was really about just kind of punching in and punching out. And we're sitting here today in this audience, and there are some of you that are living the dream. There are some of you that are looking for work, going, I'll take anything right now. There's others of you that are in a job and you're whining and you're complaining and you're going, man, I hate my job, but I got a mortgage that I got to keep my job. I talked to a guy in the last several months, and he has stayed in the same job for more than 20 years, and he doesn't like his job. But he goes, I got a wife, I got kids, and I got a mortgage payment, and I got expenses that I don't have any option. And some of you are in that boat. Well, this morning's text, I think, is a game changer. I really do. I think it's a game changer because it's all about our perspective on work, a biblical perspective, a godly perspective. And so, you know, some of you may not know this, but when we think about the Ten Commandments and you think about the Sabbath day, right? The Sabbath is all about, what's the word? Rest. But sometimes we miss the first 6 days. God said the first 6 days we are to what? Work. Work is a gift from God. Work is a responsibility that you and I have. We're put on this planet not to just be lazy, not to just be, hey, somebody else take care of me. I'm entitled. We're put on this earth to give, to serve, to work. And so let me give you some background in this on this text, because you're thinking, what about this slave and masters? The language there is a little uncomfortable, insensitive, culturally irrelevant, but just some background. Slavery, of course, was universally accepted back in the first century. And it was considered a fundamental institution. I read this week, interesting, that more than 50% of the people in the great cities of the Roman world were slaves. More than 50% of the people in the Roman world in the first century were slaves. And they existed for the comfort and the convenience of their owners. And so, of course, the question is, what in the world does this passage have to say to us today? What is the connection to us today? And I love Lloyd Ogilvie, who was the pastor at Hollywood Press for many, many years, and then the chaplain for the U.S. Senate later on in his ministry. But here's how he frames this passage of Scripture. He says, what does this passage have to do with us today? All we have to do is interchange the words employer and employee for master and slave. So that's going to be the context today for us to think about, what does it mean to be an employer and an employee? A new perspective on work. And here's maybe, if you're taking notes, I want to introduce you to an idea that maybe you've never thought of before. That what we're talking about this morning, your work, is a spiritual issue. You going to school, whether it be high school, junior high, college, did you know that your approach, your attitude, your performance, it's a spiritual issue? What we're talking about here is not, okay, I go to work Monday through Friday, and then I go to church on Sunday, and that's my faith time. And some of us compartmentalize our life. And we don't think that they're integrated in any way. We don't think that my faith has anything to do with my work. And what Paul is saying and what God's word is teaching us is we are to integrate our faith and our work, our faith and our lifestyle, our attitude. It makes all the difference. This absolutely is a game changer if we'll allow the teaching of this text to sink into our hearts and change the way that we think about work. And so, here's what I want us to do. I'm just going to make a couple of reflections, three reflections this morning from this text. And I've framed it this way, a new perspective on work. It's a spiritual issue. Number one, as you look at the text, one of the things that just jumps out at me is that we are called to work with integrity. With integrity. Integrity has to do with what? Who you are when nobody's looking. Who you are when nobody's looking. And so when you read that first verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them. What's the phrase? What's it say? All the time, not just when they are watching you, right? And that's the kind of slippery slope that some of us fall into. When I was doing my paper route, if my boss was there, I wouldn't be ditching the inserts over the fence into the bushes, right? I would be working differently if my boss was there. And what Paul is saying to the Colossians is, I want to encourage you as a follower of Jesus, you need to look and work differently than others who aren't followers of Jesus. I want you to work as if you're being watched all the time. And he goes on to make that connection that you're working for God, you're serving Jesus, not your earthly master. So approach your work with integrity. How many of you have seen the TV show Undercover Boss? You seen that? There's some touching stories in that television show. It's the story of each week of a CEO, somebody who owns a company, who goes undercover. They put on a little disguise, and they go in as an entry-level employee. And what they're doing is they're actually kind of doing some research and trying to figure out, how can we make our company better? But at the same time, they're looking at which of their employees are hitting it out of the park, and which of their employees are slacking, have that entitlement thing going on, are lazy. And so each week it's that story. And at the end of the show, the boss takes off his disguise, calls people into the headquarters, and then gives them feedback. But I love the show because it's exactly what Paul's talking about here when he says, try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. You know, this idea of integrity, it's a character issue. When you go to work tomorrow morning, it's a character issue, who you are in the workplace. What you're doing online in the workplace. Are you shopping? Are you buying, you know, your next travel vacation, looking for the deals on Travelzoo? Like, whoa, you know, between on your work hours. Checking ESPN, who did the Raiders draft this weekend? Who did the Niners draft? You know, what's the score of the game? You know, and I'm not here to talk about legalism related to that. I'm just saying the research shows in America that a lot of us spend a lot of time online doing things that aren't part of our work. Now, just for a moment, pretend you're the boss. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying your faith should impact the way you do your job. It's an integrity issue. It's a character issue. Think of it another way. I was trying to think of, okay, how am I going to connect this? Just imagine, and some of you this applies, some of you don't, but let's just say, oh, once a month you decide, I'm going to have somebody come in and help kind of clean up the house, do a thorough cleaning of the house. I'm going to do that as a gift. I'm talking to you dads right now, husband. As a gift to my wife, I'm going to have somebody come in. I'm going to hire a cleaning service. And they're going to come in and clean for 3 hours. Now, just imagine that you walk in while they're supposed to be there. You've hired them for 3 hours, and you see them sitting there watching TV after they've been there an hour and 15 minutes. And you go, what are you doing? They go, oh, I finished in an hour. But they expect to be paid for 3 hours. How many of you are going, they deserve all 3 hours, man. They did it faster. And how many of you are going, I'm feeling cheated right now? See, and I think what happens is when you put on the perspective of an employer, of a boss, you filter your work ethic a little bit differently. It stinks to be cheated. And it stinks to cheat God. God has given you the opportunity in your workplace to not just make a living, but what? To make a difference. And so it is an integrity. It's a character issue. The second reflection is, and I'm stealing this kind of comment. I heard Bill Hybels say this, and I just loved it. He said, do your work with an exclamation point. Do your work every day with an exclamation point. The New American Standard Version translates verse 23, do your work heartily. Wholeheartedly. Put your heart into your work. Whether you're doing a paper route, you're a dishwasher, you're a security officer, you're a pastor, you're a teacher, you're a developer. I don't know what you're doing, but what God wants from his people is he wants us to be different. He wants us to be the kind of people that put an exclamation point, an exclamation mark on our career and on our work. It's not just punching in, punching out, putting my time in, sitting there, oh, I don't know what to do. I'll just sit here and wait for somebody to tell me what to do. How many of you, if you were a boss, are going, I got somebody that works for me, and they're just sitting in their office waiting for me to tell them what to do every day, and they don't do anything unless I tell them what to do. No. If that's you, take some initiative. Go and ask, hey, I'm done with my work right now. I don't know what to do. How else can I do? Make yourself known by making a difference in the workplace. That exclamation point, I love it. It's really about being your best, being the best version of yourself at work. Some of you have seen this. I'm going to show a little video clip of Johnny the Bagger. Kip Bradley, you sent this to me a long time ago. And I think you told me you bawled like a baby when you saw this the first time. But I think we have this clip. Watch. We don't have this clip. Oh, we don't have this clip. Okay, let me change gears then. Let me tell the story. Johnny the Bagger works at a grocery store. He's got Down syndrome. And he bags groceries every day. Some of you know, as I'm telling you, you've seen the video of it. But he decides with his parents to do something a little bit different. He says, I'm going to start filling the bags with my favorite quote of the day. And so he writes a quote of the day, and he brings all these, and he cuts them up, and then when he bags people's groceries, he puts in the quote of the day. Well, over time, here's what happens in the grocery store as the store manager tells the story. All of a sudden, there's five aisles open, but everybody's in Johnny the Bagger's line. Well, what's going on? Here, we just opened another counter for you. No. I'd rather stand 20 people deep because I want my quote of the day from Johnny. Now, what would happen if we just, that principle, going the extra mile, thinking about how do I add a little flavor? How do I begin to live beyond myself in the simplest of job, being a grocery bagger, being a security officer, a paper, you name it. But start to think differently about, rather than I'm just going to sit there and put groceries on and have a scowl on my face and throw a pity party because I'm not in the job that I really want to have, and I'm sitting here just thinking about the job I hope that I have someday. And some of us live that way day after day after day, and our face shows it, our attitude shows it. What if we embrace the attitude of, I'm going to change my perspective, and I'm going to put an exclamation mark on my work tomorrow and Tuesday and every day, and I'm going to begin to think differently on how I can make a difference in the lives of those that I work with and work for and who the clients are and the customers are. Now, just think if we did that, if the people of God said, I'm going to embrace that. If you're a student, thinking of it that way. I'm not just going to go through the motions and try and get by, but I'm going to make it, I'm in this class, and it's not just about getting a grade, it's also about who are the people, who are the students around me today. Maybe there's people that I'm sitting around that need a prayer, that need encouragement, that have nobody to have lunch with. Maybe it's my teacher, right? And we start to see differently the way that we approach our work. And then here's the last reflection. It's work with a greater purpose. Work with a greater purpose. What is that purpose? Over and over again in this text, it talks about serving. You are serving Christ. Look at verse 24. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. And then up in verse 23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people or for man. What's the point? What if you started thinking and asking yourself this question, why has God planted me in this place at this time around these people? Maybe the point of where you're at in your life right now, in your career, in the current job you have, it's not just about, okay, we have to make a living, I get that. But there's a bigger and greater purpose. And what if God has intentionally put you at such a time as this in the lives of the people that you're working with, working for. To touch them, to bless them, to encourage them, to reach them, to love them. You know what that does? Is it turns every day into an adventure. It turns every day into this wonderful discovery of God, use me. It's not just about my work. Now it's I have a greater purpose in my day, in my week, in my life. And so you can become like that brother Lawrence who wrote a book back in the 17th century, I think it was, Practicing the Presence of God. And this is what he wrote. I have a quote. He says, "We ought not to be weary of doing little things for the love of God, who regards not the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed." It's not about the greatness of this job. It's not about, are you a celebrity, a superstar, a millionaire? It's about the love that you put into the little things in your job, the little touches that you give the people that you work with and work for. And so this idea of serving with a greater purpose. Here's the question. Have you ever wondered why God planted you in the job that you're in right now? And around the people in your office? Have you considered that maybe your mission field isn't over in Quito, Ecuador, but maybe it's in the cubicle right next to you and across from you? That actually could be your greatest mission field. You know, some of you know I have the privilege of doing a lot of weddings. And so in some ways I'm not always like, oh, here's the pastor, although in some ways I am. But the way I filter it in my mind when I do weddings is these are people that aren't part of this church. And so when I go do a wedding, and I went and did one last night, I go and I'm not perfect at this. I want to be clear about that. In fact, last night's proof of that. I won't go into all the details. But I go into those weddings prayerfully. And it's not just about serving the bride and groom and their families. It's also about who's the photographer that I'm going to see that I see at many weddings. And who's the wedding planner that I have seen and see over the years. That I believe God wants me to touch and reach and pray for and bless and serve. And one of the ways I've changed my perspective about my work is I'm not just there to do and officiate a ceremony and then leave. I always go up to the wedding planner, except for last night because she was annoying. That's a whole nother story. That's why I said I failed. I've already asked forgiveness. But usually when I'm on my best Christ-like behavior, I'll go to the wedding planner after the ceremony and I'll say, how can I serve you? How can I help you? Do you need help taking the chairs down? And they're always like shocked by it. Like, oh, you got a suit and tie on? No, that's our job. I go, no, I'm happy to help. And part of why I'm doing that is because I feel like God's called me to a greater purpose. Now, what if you approached your work day, the people you work with? Followers of Jesus are called to serve. We're called to servant leadership. We're called to, whether it be an employer or an employee, we are called to embrace that attitude of Jesus who took on the very nature of a servant. It's a game changer. It's a life changer for you. And it will be for the people that you work with. And then here's your bonus point. Some of you are going, wait a minute, there's something else in here. What about that last verse? Verse 1 of chapter 4 addresses the employer, the boss. And rather than put it in the outline, I just call it a bonus point. And what's it say? It's just there in black and white. It says, employer, if you're a boss, treat your employees fairly. With justice or justly. Do the right thing. And then it talks about, remember that you also have a boss. You have a master in heaven who loves you, who supports you, who's patient with you, who values you, who's committed to developing you. That's the God of the Bible. He supports you. He loves you. He values you and he's committed to developing you. And so now what Paul's saying is, I want you to take the way that God treats you as your master, as your Lord. And I want you now to treat those that work for you, your employees. And so now if you're the boss, it's not all about the bottom line. It's about valuing people, appreciating and acknowledging the people that work for you, supporting them, resourcing them, helping them develop and grow as people. There's a great book that another pastor gave me a few years ago called The Dream Giver. And what I remember from the book, the whole book's not all about this, but I remember the author addresses, he says, if you're an employer, what if God used you to unleash and support the dreams of those who work for you? Rather than, hey, just do the job and do it right. And I don't want to get to know you. I don't want to know anything. I just want you to do your job. What if there was a whole different attitude of, what are your dreams beyond this job? What are your dreams for career? What's the life that you really are dreaming? And what if we started leaning into that and helping unleash the dreams of those that work for us? Do you think you'd be a boss that others would love to work with and work for? Of course. And I think that's part of what Paul's saying here to the masters. He's saying, be fair, be just, be kind, be supportive, be loving. Be one who lives generously and loves well. And so I'm going to stop. And I'm going to challenge you to take a moment to think about, what's your takeaway from what you've heard? When you walk into work tomorrow, some of you might be even walking into work this afternoon, how might what you heard in this moment change the way you think about your job, your career, your day-to-day? You spend more time at work than you do at home with your family. And so what if you change your perspective from this text and you and I began to really live out what God's calling us to live? Life, your life, my life, will be totally upside down. It'll be an incredible adventure. And you know what'll happen? God will use you to influence and to impact the people around you in a wonderful and tremendous way. So let me close this in prayer. And so, Father, whether it be the classmate that sits in the desk next to us or the colleague who sits in the cubicle across from us or the client that we have lunch with on a monthly basis to check in with, my prayer is that the words of this text, of this scripture, would change our perspective. That we're called to serve. We're called to live and work with integrity, with a work ethic. And Father, I know that there are some of us that this moment brings us maybe to a place of conviction. That we live with this sense of entitlement. Hey, I've been working here for 6 months. I want a raise. I want a promotion. I pray, Father, that we would be a people, your people, who would put our head down and be known for putting an exclamation point on our work, and that we would leave the results to you, and we'd leave the promotions and the raises and all that stuff to you, that we would serve and work our jobs as if we were serving you, as Paul says. And so we're going to give you all the glory. And I'm going to pray right now, God, that you would do some absolutely transformational work in our hearts and in our minds. That there'd be some real God stories as a result of us living this message out starting today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you, brother.